It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bayerano.
Welcome to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Nick Bayerano. Joining us in the studio today is Good Shepherd Healthcare System President and CEO, Dennis Burke. Today, we'll be discussing what's happening in healthcare and what you need to know. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
For those of our listeners who might not know you very well, why don't you tell us about yourself, how long you've been here in the community, and what's kept you here?
Oh, well, that's a large question, but it's a very interesting one. By the way, a long time ago, somebody told me that Hermiston was really, truly a land of opportunity, and I'll tell you, it has really been for me and my family. This will be I'm actually starting on the 30th year of being here in Hermiston, being president of Good Shepherd Healthcare System for 29 of those 30 years, and it has been a tremendous journey. Formerly, before that, I've always worked in hospitals. My father was a hospital administrator. My first job was in a hospital in 1968, and I've been working there ever since. And since college, I had a couple of stints, one 5.5 years in Boulder, another 7.5 years in Portland, and then after that came to Hermiston. And it's been a real joy to see both Hermiston grow and develop as well as the hospital.
You know, that's pretty amazing because it seems like in healthcare, CEOs tend to be more apt to move around after 4 or 5 years. So to stay in one place for that long and to have that success record of, you know, growing and continuing to grow the hospital is just amazing. So today we're talking about what's happening in healthcare. How has healthcare changed since you first started at Good Shepherd?
Well, I'll tell you, in so many ways, it has just become way more complex. And not all complexity is not all bad, per se. Certainly, in terms of the technology that we have to work with, it's far more it's far better in terms of its ability to diagnose, its ability to treat. We have better medications. We have our lengths of stay have dramatically changed because of the fact that we are able to treat both injury and disease at a much faster rate and in improve and enhance healing. We have a lot of new modalities that we are offering in the community now. And I think that's another thing that's changed in terms of the scope of things that we provide. There has been times when we have been challenged in terms of being able to provide all the specialties that we would like to be able to provide because, frankly, there are some that are just very, very in short supply in terms of the demand and need that they throughout the United States. And, yes, we are competing as a community for those for some very scarce resources for both technical and professional capacities.
So there seems to always be a lot happening at Good Shepherd, which you kind of alluded to with the new services, modalities. What are some of those new things that are happening, including construction, that our community should be aware of?
Well, a lot of the things that we're focusing on right now are just right-sizing. We have a new professional office building that's very prominent and is under construction. Will probably be completed and ready for move-in in the middle of October. The main addition to that is a new women's center, and I think there's probably been some other people that have talked about the women's center in the past, so maybe not go into too much detail on that, but our ability to address people that are supporting them through their pregnancy, as well as providing other GYN services, this requires more providers than we currently have now. And we have to have the space, though, in order to accommodate them. So we're looking forward to our new women's center. It will be sort of one of the main floors of the new professional office building. We have a couple other additional services that we're adding as well. Sometime in the next year, we hope to launch a comprehensive pain center. This has been a goal for some time, but certainly in our area with the manufacturing and farming, agriculture. We have a lot of occupations that, you know, can result in chronic pain for you know, from an accident or some other reason. And having that, having a place to go where it's comprehensively managed is a real blessing to the individuals that need it. We also would like to expand our occupational health program, and I hope to have a clinic at some point within the next year or two that addresses occupational health. And again, this is a very specialized area. It is focused on the needs of certain businesses, all the way from how they make a safe environment for their employees to in which to work, as well as addressing any kind of things that you know, repetitive motion types of problems, organizing work for a safer environment, and how to deal with injuries after they have occurred so that people continue to be productive and functional.
So you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, with the growth, there's room for expansion of services. What are we doing to recruit new providers to the area? What new providers are we recruiting currently?
Okay, well, I'm very pleased to announce that we have another general surgeon that will be coming to our area in September. Right now, the stops are pulled out for internal medicine. I wish I could tell you that we've got a number of candidates that are potentially on the hook. We don't. They're very difficult to find, and we need some. Family practice is another area that we have struggled with recruiting. We have two new pediatricians that will be joining us, and one of them has one of them started this last week.
That's correct. Yeah,
Dr. Alan Damian. And so we're very excited to have him here. And we have another one, Dr. Lena Castillo, that will be joining us next year. She's currently finishing a pediatric fellowship in endoscopy, which is going to be a tremendous addition for our region.
And also, is there any other services coming to the community? I know that there is potentially another orthopedic.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes, we do have another orthopedic surgeon that is going to be coming. And he'll be joining Dr. Anderson. It's Dr. And I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the names.
Harrison.
Dr. Harrison, that's right. And so we're excited about having him come. And let's see. Currently on the recruitment list, and there's a number of things, okay? We're looking for a cardiologist. We're looking for another, as we mentioned, internist. We always are looking for some more hospitalists. Family practice is another big recruitment need in our community. And a psychiatrist is also on our docket.
So it sounds like we have quite a bit happening at Good Shepherd with expanding and more providers coming to the community, and also the ever-present need of more. And I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here.
Sure.
And talk about some of the major issues, political issues right now over the past decade has been healthcare reform. Political pundits expressing their opinions about what should be done. To give our listeners some context, what are some of these issues?
I think right now the biggest issue that we have in healthcare is just how to provide healthcare in our society. We have those that feel that healthcare is a right and should be addressed more as a socialized program, and we have others that feel that the government shouldn't have as much role in healthcare as they currently do. And I tell you, those two sides have not come together, and we're seeing, I think, some of the fallout of those particular divides. So on the national level, I don't know. It's very difficult, and I think most people know that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, has its challenges, and some of those challenges are resulting in fairly precipitous price increases for certain individuals that are pursuing the insurance market. And I think a part of that has been that as certain that they have expanded to the both the as the government has tried to increase expansion to individuals that are above 125% of the federal poverty level. There was a unique group in there that actually turned out to be a little more expensive in terms of their need for services and pent-up demand than was otherwise anticipated, which resulted in some fairly precipitous increases in premiums, or the need for increases in premiums in order to support that extra care. I think that the challenges going forward is just going to be, how do you actually accomplish the insurance process? As healthcare, as I mentioned, is becoming more expensive, we're able to do more. And in doing more, the cost of equipment is greater. The cost of medications is increased fairly significantly, and the ability to do things is outstripping our ability to pay for the very things that we would like to do. Yeah. That's the challenge, and provide that care to everybody. Please.
So let's talk a little bit about transparency. That also seems to be something that politicians are pining, that the communities that hospitals serve and healthcare serves actually has more knowledge about what's happening. And obviously, healthcare is kind of a science, so it's difficult oftentimes for consumers to understand healthcare and it's the language that is being spoken there. What is being done to make healthcare more transparent across the nation, really, and also here locally?
Well, transparency is a very broad concept. And I think in a lot of ways, there's a lot of effort to try to assist people in navigating the healthcare system, period. We started our Connections program, I think it's been about 2 years now. And the whole idea behind this was to assist people, especially individuals that were high users of healthcare, in navigating the system and navigating it more efficiently and more effectively. And part of that is just being able to explain to people, you know, what it is, what the terminology is, and how to assess the right providers and how to use the system more efficiently as opposed to, you know, less efficiently, like coming to the emergency room for everything. I think that's one aspect of transparency and trying to help people understand. Another one, obviously, has to do with the understanding what drives healthcare costs. And in so doing, Good Shepherd has made sure that in various ways that we can help you understand your bill, understand what charges are for. We've tried to put various things out there. We put our financials. We put our what you can qualify for in terms of assistance, in terms of paying your bill, or charity care. All those things we've tried to make very, very visible, and we've done a lot of work. I certainly invite people to come and take a look at our website, because I think that a lot of that kind of information can be found there. We post our 990, which is an Internal Revenue Service form that has a lot of information about the hospital. It has information about our finances, has information about where we spend our dollars, has information about how we serve our community in terms of charity care and bad debts, those kind of things that are all part of giving back to our community.
And I know one thing that Good Shepherd is also involved in is giving back to the community. What are some ways that over the past year that you've given back to the community that our listeners might not be aware of?
Well, certainly we do have sliding scales where anybody that's under 200% of the federal poverty level gets their care at Good Shepherd with no cost. Anything above, there's a sliding scale up to 300% of the federal poverty level. We want to make sure that anybody who needs care can be taken care of. But other ways we have given back, Good Shepherd Healthcare System at various times has had bonuses or dividends from different types of payers in which we take risk in terms of for those particular individuals. And if we do better than the dollars that were allocated, in other words, with the cost was lower, We've taken those dollars and made different types of funds available for the community. We have given money for the to our various county health departments. We have given it to our emergency services providers, various funds just for their training or for various types of educations for other projects. We actually have a system-wide healthcare plan that we've worked with our counties, with our other hospitals within our region on to produce a two-county comprehensive health plan. And in that comprehensive health plan, there are a lot of different things that our community has been involved in, our population has been involved in sort of identifying as problematic areas or areas that we have opportunity for improvement. And some of the dollars that we have expended are primarily focused on addressing those particular needs.
Something else that I think is really great is now, you know, our CAHPS scores, which are Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems, which is regulated by CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, make those scores or surveys available to the public to be able to see on different hospital websites. Mm-hmm. And I understand Good Shepherd's is available on Oregon Hospital Compare and also at the national level. Is that something you recommend for people to be able to go and take a look at before they come and receive care at the hospital?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, like you said, we live in a very transparent age, and those hospitals now are all scored. And it's scored by our consumers, the patients that come through us and have services. And we make those public. And there's a lot of different sites that make them public as well. I would encourage people to look at any one of those sites, but most of the sites that you will go on that are public sites, the data is going to be a little bit older, but that's okay. But we keep that on our own site as well, and we would just encourage anybody, as well as posted in the hallways. And so if you're walking in or visiting our cafeteria, you know, take a look and see how our customers are rating us. That's, you know, we'd like to think at all instances we get way above average scores. Once in a while we don't, and that gives us some incentive to work on the areas that are pointed out as opportunities for us. But we do make that available, and it's a good motivator for all of us to continue to try our very best.
And speaking of those scores, I know that Good Shepherd has recently received several accolades from industry experts and analysts for safety and quality. What would you attribute those awards to?
Well, I think that, you know, throughout our entire organization, last year we began a new initiative through Custom Learning Systems, in which we have a custom service initiative. And I think it's had a spin-off effect. It's more of a gestalt, you know, it's focusing on customer service, focusing on customer satisfaction. I think it's improved a lot of other areas. We just received an award from the Oregonian for being one of the best places in Oregon to work. And I, we didn't focus on being the best place to work, but I think that our focus on customer satisfaction had that spin-off effect of achieving some of these other awards.
Just kind of drawing on what you mentioned there, I know that Good Shepherd is focused a lot on or emphasizing the patient experience right now. What is Good Shepherd doing to make sure patients or healthcare consumers have a great experience? And you alluded to custom learning systems and kind of a journey that you're on there. But what are some of those things that are being put in place or that we're doing to make that difference and make that experience better?
I think one of the things that I was particularly impressed by custom learning systems was the emphasis that they placed on employees' leadership within the organization. And we have service excellence teams, and these teams of employees are trained, and they teach other employees about the importance and of customer satisfaction, customer engagement. And not only do they teach, but they also continue to provide some reinforcement throughout the year. And it's a very grassroots effort, and I think it's had a lot of very positive effect when it's peer-to-peer in the organization, it's, again, it's very motivating.
So going back into the political arena here, healthcare is starting to become or has been very highly regulated. How do you feel about those regulations? I know that from the political level, there's lots of talk, like you said, about deregulation, and some people feel like there needs to be more regulation, some people less. Just for our community living here, what is your take on regulation, and how does it affect Good Shepherd?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know of any industry that has more regulations than healthcare. And I am going to have to say that obviously there's a need for some regulation. Like any industry, I can probably point to a number of items that there's regulation that I don't think particularly helps either the industry as a whole or at least us in our situation. But I'm not one that thinks that there's, you know, that we should just throw regulation completely out the window, because I think that there are good standards that are in place. We have a lot of good organizations that set standards. CMS, even though they have lots and lots of rules, many of those, most of those rules, I think, are for the best. We utilize an accrediting organization, Det Norske Veritas, which comes in. They have a lot of regulations, and they have a lot of processes that they put us through. But every one of those is designed and has a purpose in mind in terms of improving the organization. Yes, there are some things that probably could help and reduce costs in healthcare if they would either be modified or perhaps go away. But there are other ones that I think are very essential for the industry to perform at its best.
So you mentioned also our accrediting agency, DNV. Mm-hmm. And, one thing that we often get questions on about Good Shepherd is, what exactly are we? Because they see our name as, at one time we were a hospital, and then as a medical center, and now as a health system. What are the differences in those different titles, I guess you would say?
Well, it's interesting. I've been in healthcare for 42 years now post college. I still do not know what a medical center is. It's the all-purpose term, and so I try to avoid that. I mean, I know what a hospital is, and I try to use that term as much as I can. That's where a place where people go for their care and to whether they're sick or injured and get better. But we do use the other aspects. Certainly, we have our Good Shepherd Medical Clinic, Good Shepherd. We have our Medical Services Corporation. We have some other things. I'll kind of go into just a little bit about that. But the hospital is sort of the mothership. Our Good Shepherd Medical Group is where we have physicians that are employed by the hospital, and now employment is probably the most common method where physicians affiliate with a system. By the way, the term system is just kind of an overall umbrella term that encapsulates everything underneath it: hospital, medical clinics or groups, and other support services like our home health and hospice and foundation and other things like that. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think some of our consumers in the community have often been confused, not knowing if we are still a hospital versus a medical center. And you see comments like this oftentimes on Facebook and other things where people are able to comment and ask questions. And it's just kind of a good thing as a reminder for people to understand that, yes, it is a hospital, yes, it is a medical center, and yes, we are a health system as well.
Right.
I kind of want to switch lines of questioning here just because in the headlines, if somebody is watching the news and hearing everything that's happening at the White House, I know that there is a lot of anxiety and angst and juxtaposition, I guess you could say, about what's happening with the Affordable Care Act, or better known as Obamacare, mm-hmm. and then most recently the American Health Care Act and the Better Care Reconciliation Act. How do you see what's happening in Washington affecting us here locally right now? Do you see any of these changes or discussions affecting us right now, or is it down the road some? Should consumers be concerned about it? What's your take on that?
I'll tell you, in terms of the of those particular acts, and I'll tell you, I am not an expert on the minute details between each one of those. They're very complex, and there's a lot of professional opinion that goes into each one of these as to how things can be changed to make things better. But I can tell you, there's a couple of things that we have to watch very carefully. One of them is, each one of these acts has a different take on and a different focus on how it's going to fund the Medicaid program. Now, Medicaid programs are operated by states, but states are very dependent on the federal funds. And Oregon is the fifth most dependent state of all 50 states on federal funding for its Medicaid program. Some of these funds have actually provisions in them that would, and again, I hope this doesn't get too complex, but there is the expansion population that, let's take the regular Medicaid population up to 100% of the federal poverty level. The federal government now matches that by about 67%. So in other words, for every dollar spent, the federal government pays 67 cents of that. When they expanded the population from 100 to 125% of the federal poverty level, the federal government paid 95% of those costs. These other plans, other than the ACA, both intend to move that match back to the regular Medicaid match of about 67%. Those are a lot of funds that states will lose in terms of the dollars that go for Medicaid. That could be a very significant problem. Hospitals, or states like Oregon, have also engaged in hospital taxes, which it's a tax, but it's a tax in which we tax hospitals. Revenues, and then those dollars are utilized for state matching funds. That gets matched with federal dollars, and then those dollars come back to the hospital. Right now, both of those measures propose to reduce the amount that hospitals can be taxed for that particular purpose of matching federal funds. That also would have a significant impact on Oregon's dollars available for Medicaid services. Some of these kind of things, I think, are potentially the items that could have the most impact on states like Oregon, which are highly dependent on federal dollars and could significantly reduce the dollars available in the Medicaid program, and perhaps have to roll back our programs in terms of who all could be covered as opposed to what we're covering now. I realize that these are very expensive programs. It's expensive on the state side. It's expensive on the federal government side. And a lot of these, the focus on this is, how can we reduce costs and in these particular programs? So you're always going to have the continued debate and argument about how much this costs, where can we save money, and covered lives, and how many people we can have covered under our state Medicaid programs.
So, Dennis, one thing I want to ask you from our discussion today, what is something you would like our listeners to walk away with from our discussion and they could take back to their family and friends who aren't listening that they should know?
Well, I will have to say this. I think that all of the discussion on healthcare and the starts and the stops and the attempts and the failures in terms of votes on and the issues on both the state and the federal level can be very disconcerting. I think that one thing I want our listeners to know is, Good Shepherd Healthcare System is strong. We are available, and irrespective of what direction the healthcare system goes, we are here to take care of communities' needs, and we will be here. And we think we've got a lot of, like I said, a lot of staying power, and we're going to continue to fulfill our mission within the community, irrespective of what happens on either the state or federal level.
Good to know. Thank you, Dennis, for joining us in the